Hello, my name is Kirsty Styles from Mobile Marketing Magazine. I'm here with Lewis Ward, who is Gaming Research Manager at IDC. Hello, Lewis.
Hello, good to be with you.
Good, good, good. So you're currently over in the States. You're at the E3 conference. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm in Los Angeles. There's the E3 Expo, which is one of the biggest video game conferences in the world. So, you know, if you follow video games at all, you probably saw this week, you know, some color around the Xbox One, Microsoft Xbox One, which will launch in November. The PS4 is also going to launch in November. Or if you're a Nintendo fan, there's a lot of news around that. But there is also some PC and mobile gaming that's covered at this event.
Okay. And you were speaking on a panel yesterday about the future of mobile and portable gaming. And you were speaking there with App Annie, the likes of Sega, PlayStation. Can you tell us a bit about what was discussed?
Sure, yeah, and I was kind of the moderator, so it was myself and the CEO of App Annie, Bert Kranschmidt. We basically did a few slides, like maybe 15 minutes of intro slides, where we talked about, you know, kind of laying out the likely growth pattern over the next few years for mobile and portable gaming. So that does cover smartphones, tablets, and what I call gaming-optimized handhelds from Sony and Nintendo. The slides are actually free to download on the App Annie site. It isn't up on IDC.com, but at the App Annie site, if you go there, there is a free, you can basically get the deck for free. And after about 15 minutes, it was 45 minutes of panel. And like you said, and we have Ubisoft and Sega, Sony, Microsoft, and we basically, NVIDIA, a rep from NVIDIA. So it was some executives from those companies, and we kind of talked about where mobile and portable gaming is going to go over the next couple of years.
Okay, so where is it going to go?
Well, we're projecting, and this is based on IDC, you know, research, that the number of devices that are used for gaming worldwide, again, smartphones, tablets, and dedicated handhelds, will grow from about 800 million at the end of 2012 to approximately 1.2 billion by the end of 2014. So it's about a 50% growth. A lot of that growth is in Android in particular, and a lot of that growth is happening in emerging economies. So it's really exploding right now in Asia Pacific in particular. So in some senses, the, you know, Sony and Nintendo handhelds are getting squeezed from a market share perspective. It isn't necessarily that they're going to, you know, fall off a cliff in terms of sales. It's more like explosion in Android gaming in particular is kind of squeezing how much share they have of all those mobile and portable gamers. But, you know, we talked about revenues. It's approximately $12 billion worldwide in 2013 across all software spending on mobile and portable games, and that's packaged in digital. And there's a little bit of advertising thrown in there. So the share that goes to developers and publishers from, you know, in-game video ads or banner ads.
So that's only a really small portion compared to how much people are actually spending on the games themselves.
Yeah, the advertising piece, if that's what you're referring to, is only about 5% of that $12 billion. So the vast majority of it is direct spending. And this year, one of the things we also touched on is that I'm projecting that this year, 51% of that $12 billion total will be generated from the freemium business model, which is it's been, you know, wildly successful in iOS and Android for the past couple of years, but there still are prepaid games on those platforms. And then when you also mix in the dedicated handheld, you know, game revenue, 2013 will probably be the first year that freemium business model, in other words, free to download and you pay through, you know, in-app purchases and so on, becomes a majority of revenue in this market. So that's kind of a sea change as well.
Okay, so that's pretty massive. So do you see any time in the future when people start paying for stuff? You know, we've seen the trend with music and obviously news as well. Is freemium here to stay?
I think so. I mean, you know, again, there was a few different opinions on the panel, but, you know, everybody who does mobile and portable gaming are either have already embraced freemium, you know, thoroughly, or they're moving toward it as quickly as they can. So I think the handwriting on the wall, I think part of it is, again, that in emerging economies where people don't have much disposable income, you see this in China on the PC side, of course, but, you know, in mobile and portable, where, you know, the disposable income is pretty small, the only reasonable way to, you know, extract, let's say, a quarter or 50 cents or a dollar from a vast market of potential gamers is to get, you know, is to provide them some value through a free download of the game. And then, you know, if they really love the game, then you've kind of shown them the value, and they're willing to part with, you know, some of their little disposable income on your game. So part of it's simply about how do you tap into a huge, huge market of people that don't live in developed parts of the world, but they still have the ability to spend something on games. And I think that's part of the story of why freemium is really growing the way it is.
Okay, Nick. So obviously some of the huge players were there in historic kind of console gaming. Are they moving quickly enough and moving towards mobile or adding mobile to their mix?
Yeah, I mean, well, Microsoft, of course, is in a distant third spot right now behind iOS and Android on the mobile and portable side, but clearly with Windows 8 and what they're trying to do now with Smart Glass, they're trying to draw some lines and connections between their successes on the PC side, their success on the console side, and kind of tie that in and hopefully uplift their mobile business. But again, they're really far behind Apple and Google's ecosystem at this point. You know, Sony's in there with tablets and smartphones. They obviously have Vita, Ubisoft and Sega, all those, you know, big developers and publishers do have games on those platforms. So, you know, Rabbids is pretty much everywhere. Sonic is basically on all those platforms, and they have tested the waters on freemium, if not, you know, leading with that business model. But it really does vary by company.
Okay. And obviously you mentioned emerging markets and how we get people to spend on games. Is there a payments method that seems to be coming through? Is it operator billing or going via the manufacturer that seems to work best?
Well, it's really a mixture, and it depends on the country. In some cases, you know, for iOS and Google Play in most developed markets, so, you know, North America, Western Europe, where there's credit cards, you know, it kind of shows up on your monthly bill if you're post-pay phone in particular, but you can also top up your account on prepaid and whatnot. So a lot of times it's ultimately billed through credit cards in much of the Western countries. In developing nations, it can be, you know, operator billed. There are also cards, so you can top up, you know, buy them at retail stores and put digital money on the account. There's also PayPal linkages. So, you know, the payment systems do vary by country, and it's pretty diverse. But certainly for iOS, you know, credit cards are ultimately the dominant way to pay for it.
And have you seen any, either at the expo or more broadly, any gaming companies, any games in particular that you think are going to be the next big hit?
Well, there's certainly a lot of diversity out there, and it's difficult to pick winners, especially on mobile and portable, because you know, they come and go, you know, with a lot of regularity. In other words, what's up this week is going to be down next week. Again, you know, Sonic has had a pretty good track record here. You know, EA's done some stuff with PopCap games. You know, there's a new Plants and Zombies, which a franchise I happen to love, which I think just launched, and that could do well. But you know, it's they're all over the place. It's a pretty diverse market.
So there isn't a silver bullet. If somebody was asking you as a games developer, what do I need to do to win in mobile as a developer? Is it the game still isn't really set?
Yeah, there's certainly no magic bullet. Some excellent games just wind up, you know, there's such a glut of games in the freemium. I mean, one of the downsides of freemium is that they call it the discoverability challenge, but it really means that there's so many free games out there that even a very good game, unless you get some luck, you know, or you've got some really interesting twist on things that somehow breaks through, you know, you can get lost in the shuffle very easily. So, you know, there is no magic bullet. And quite frankly, a lot of the smaller developers, so kind of micro studios, you know, wind up losing money on what they've developed just because it never breaks through. So it's definitely hit or miss, definitely a cutthroat business. And there's no silver bullet. But again, you know, the freemium stuff seems to you know, kind of be a good starting point at this point. And I also think social helps, but that costs money, right? You've got to build out a server. You've got to treat it more as a service than as a product. And so, you know, that raises your expenses on the front end. And then you got to market it effectively. So, you know, that can be a hit or miss proposition as well. So unfortunately, no, I predict that there will be a lot of smaller studios that don't make it over the next few years.
Yeah. And obviously you were joined by Bertrand Schmidt from AF Annie as on the panel you were speaking on yesterday. What do you see from AF Annie that's interesting? They're obviously monitoring quite closely all of the different games developers and stuff like that. How do you work with them as an analyst company yourselves?
Yeah, so you know, IDC has done a lot of stuff around the dedicated handhelds over the years, so track that for many, many years. The installed bases of devices, how many games are selling, some of the top-selling games, usually tracked on a quarterly basis. We also track, how many iPhones are sold and Android phones, and we do install bases and what share of them are playing games and whatnot through surveys, but we don't have a title-level view, especially something that's updated on a weekly basis, and in some cases daily on App Annie, about the number of downloads, the absolute amount of revenue generated. So, the partnership is more of a marketing partnership than a financial one, but we find that our the data sets we have are fairly complementary. So with what they bring to the table, which is really iOS and Google Play at this point, which are the two biggest, there's more in Android beyond Google Play. It's a rather fragmented market. But those are the two big, smartphone and tablet storefronts. So, we can present kind of a holistic view of the market, or as close as we can get, or anybody I think can really provide, with some level of detail around, what games are selling, how is the business model shifting from in-app to, or from prepaid to in-app purchases, and have some clarity around which developers and publishers are up this week versus not, which is, again, changes at a very rapid pace, and therefore somebody who's got kind of code in these games or is tracking at a very granular level helps me out to kind of provide that kind of higher level view of the market as a whole.
Well, thank you very much for grabbing a little bit of time with us while you're at the E3 Expo. It sounds like it's right up your street, so I'm sure you'll have a fantastic time.
Yes, thank you. Cheers. Have a good day.